Okay, good morning, everyone. Let's begin. We are on to Daf Chaf Hey Amud Aleph. The Gemara says two lines down. The Gemara had been talking about was that Shemen Sreifa, which again is Shemen Shel Tshuma Shenitma, that Shemen Shel Tshuma that became Tameh, the din is you are not allowed to burn it on Yontif. And we brought a few different sources how we know you can't burn it on Yontif. So now the Gemara wants to know, two lines down on Daf Chaf Hey, that B'Yom Tov Hudasar, that on Yontif you can't burn Shemen Sreifa, Habichol Shaper Dami, but during the week one would be allowed to burn Shemen Sreifa. My time, what's the reason it's permitted to burn during the week? So Amar Rav, Rav explains, Kishem Shemitah Lisrof HaKadshim Shenitmu, just like there's a mitzvah to burn Kadshim that became Tamei, so Kach Mitzvah Lisrof as a Chuma Shenitmes, so too it's a mitzvah to burn Chuma that became Tamei. The Torah says, Bishas Biura Tihan Mimenu. And the Torah says, we'll see where that is found in just a second, but the Torah says that when you're burning the Chuma, you're allowed to benefit from it. So Rashi explains here, look at Rashi, four lines down from the top, Mitzvah Lisrof as a Chuma Shinit Meis. What's the comparison to Chuma and Kadshim? Didamya Lakodesh V'od Mishum Tekala. There are two reasons why Rashi explains you're allowed to burn Chuma similar to Kadshim. Number one is Chuma sometimes is referred to Kodesh by the Torah. So if Kadshim there's a mitzvah to burn, that's based on other sources, so too there's a mitzvah to burn Chuma. And second reason is if we leave Chuma around, a kohen might come to eat it, and we don't want that to happen. That's going to lead to a takala. So for practical purposes, we say burn it, get rid of it. This way a person doesn't come to eat it. Okay. So if you look at Tosis for a second, Tosis writes, Dimaso kachata mitzuva lisof es atshuma, around halfway down the wide lines, Tosis writes, Perish bekunchish mishum delo lisi be lide takala. Tosos quotes Rashi's second reason that it might lead to a takala. The fitamze, according to this, nira delam dafka sreifa, you don't only have to burn it, elahu adin shar bir, any other way to get rid of it, flushing it down the toilet. This is, of course, very relevant nowadays, where the posts are coming out very strongly that people should not do bir chametz with sreifa, because it's going to, chas v'sham, lead to some type of fire. People don't know what they're doing, they don't know how they're doing things. If it's a public burning, fine, but now we're not having public burnings because of the circumstances. So all the posts are coming out that a person should flush it down the toilet to get rid of the chametz, lav dafka bir. So similar here, if the whole purpose of burning truma is to avoid takala, get rid of it in any way, lav dafka burning it, but even flushing down the toilet or some other means. Says Tosis further, v'chein perish behedya be'elu over, and that's what Tosis writes, rather Rashi writes clearly in Maseches Pesachim. V'li nira debesof temura, Velo Nira says, Toz, I don't agree, because the end of Maseches Temura, Katani Chuma Timea Bahadi Nisraf. The last mission, Maseches Temura, lists various things that have a requirement to be burnt. On that list is Chuma Timea, which is, Shemen Sreifa. The Katani Hasam, it says there, Ha Nisrafim Lo Yikvru, that which requires burning, you can't bury. It's Dafka Sreifa, says Tosos. Al Kain Nir Li, says Tosos, the Sreifa Dafka has to only be Sreifa, Mishum Dedamya the Kodesh. It's similar to Kadshim. So just like Kadshim must be burnt, so to Chuma Shenitmeis must be burned. So Rashi's two dayas, Tosos points out, there's a nafkamina about whether the reason is because of takala or similar to kachim, whether you need to use dafka sreifa or any other means to get rid of it. And then Tosos says, there's machlokas, whether this din of burning is a din dirabanan or whether it's a din daraisa. So back inside the Gemara now, so after establishing that there's a mitzvah for one of two reasons to burn Chuma Shenitmeis, the Gemara then said, once a Torah Amr Torah, bishas biura, while the Chuma Shenitmeis mace is burning, tehani mimena, you could get benefit. Heichan Amar Torah, asks the Gemara, where do we ever find the Torah says you're allowed to benefit from Chuma Shenit Meis that is burning? So the Gemara says, Midirav Nachman. The Damar of Nachman, Amar Rabba Baravua, Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, V'ani hine nasati lecha es mishmeres chumosai. I'm giving you my chumos. Why is it chumos, multiple chumos? Isn't chuma just one concept? Why is it called chumos, multiple chumos? So the Gemara is medayik, b'shtei chumos hakasa medaber. The Torah is describing two different types of chumos. Which two types of chumos? Achas chuma tahora, v'achas chuma temeya. One type is chuma that's tahor, whereby the kohen can eat. But there's another chuma that becomes tameh. V'amar Rachman, Rachman Torah says, l'cha. It says in the pasuk, ani hine nasati l'cha, I give to you as mishmeres chumosai, that shelcha tihei lasika tachas tavshilcha, that could be yours to burn below your food. In other words, that both types of chumos, echad chuma tahora, ve'echad chuma temeya, should be l'cha, should be for your benefit. And since Chuma Temeah you can't eat, that's a Mefurish Pasuk elsewhere, you can't eat, it must be some other benefit you could get. Lecha, what's that benefit must be? You could use it to fuel your fire. That's the raya that you could get Hana from Chuma Temeah. So Gemara says, Ibayis Ema. Another source we have that you're allowed to benefit from Chuma Temeah Vishaz Biura is Mid Rabbi Abohu. To Amar Rabbi Abohu, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, the Pasuk says, V'lo Viarti Mimenu B'tamim. Now this is talking about when it comes to Vidur Maisa, the beginning of Kisavah. So the din is when a person brings Maisa Sheni to the Beis HaMikdash, he has to say what's called Vidur Maisa, needs to make a confession that he did all the proper halachas when it came to separating Chumas and Maisas and so on. One of the phrases the farmer has to say is "V'lo biarti mimenu b'tamei." I didn't burn the ma'aser b'tamei. So it sounds like there's an iser to burn ma'aser sheni that became tamei and to benefit from it. So the Gemara says, "Well, that's only by ma'aser sheni mimenu dafka. Only for ma'aser sheni is it aser yatamavir. You can't burn ma'aser sheni. Aval, but the implication is atamavir shemen shel truma sheni meis. But there is another type of hafrasha, namely truma tamei, that may be burnt, and that's the raya according to Rabbi Abohu." So Gemara says, how do you know the word mimenu is coming to exclude Chuma Shenitmeis, that you're allowed to benefit from Chuma Temeah? Maybe it's excluding something different. The aim of the Gemara says, let's suggest mimenu is coming to tell me, Iatamavir, you can't burn Maisa Sheni Shenitmeis, Aval, but maybe the implication should be, Aval, Tamavir Shemen Shel Kodesh Shenitma. But maybe when you have Kudshim that becomes Tameh, you may burn that, and maybe it has something to do with Chuma. It has to do with teaching a Chiddush by Kodesh, by Kodshim, not by Chuma. So the Gemara says, Lav Kavachomer, is this not a Kavachomer that we don't need a drasha? We already have a Kavachomer that Kodshim should be Tamei. Why? Ma Meiser HaKal, Meiser Sheni, which is much more lenient from Kodshim, yet the Torah says, Amr Torah, V'lo B'yarti Mimenu B'Tamei. You can't burn it even when it becomes Tamei. Then certainly Kodesh HaChomer, which is much more severe and stringent, certainly Lo Kol Shekein, certainly that should be also to be burned. And therefore Kodshim shouldn't even be in the radar. So Mimenu therefore must be teaching us a din by Chuma Shenitmeis that one may burn and get Hana. Gemara says, Ihach, if that's a line of reasoning, so then Chuma Nami Lema Kavachomer. Chuma is also more Chomer than Meiser Sheni. And we should say, Ma Meiser HaKal, that you can't burn bitame, certainly Chuma Shinit Meis should not be allowed to be burned bitame. Gemara says, Haksa Mimenu, but the word Mimenu is coming to exclude something. We have to exclude something. Either it's going to be Chuma or Kodesh. One of them must be permitted to be burnt. So we have to choose one. So why are we just choosing one? Ma Re'i, so why did we decide to exclude Chuma and allow you to burn Chuma, but say it's still us to burn Kodesh Shinit Meis? Because the Gemara says, Mistavra Kodesh Lo Mimatinu. It makes more sense that Kodshim, Kodesh, was not excluded. Why? Because Shekain, Kodshim is much more severe than that of Meiser. Shekain, Simen, Pank, Achas, these are six letters that are the Simen of Pigal, that there's a din of Pigal by Kodshim that doesn't apply by Meiser Sheni. Noser applies to Kodshim only. Carbon, it's a type of Kodshim, is a carbon. Me'ila, they're subject to Me'ila for getting Hana from it. And Kares, one who eats Kachim Shinit Meis Chayv Kares, V'asala Onin and Onin may not eat it. So these six reasons indicate that Kachim is very severe, and therefore we would say if Maisa Akal you can't burn Shinit Meis, certainly Kachim, which is very severe, you shouldn't burn when it's Nitma, and therefore must be saying that Chuma Shinit Meis is allowed to be burned. Well, the Gemara says, well, just like we have a whole list of things that Kachim is more Chamer than Maisa, we also have other Abam, they say the opposite. Chuma lo mimatino. We shouldn't exclude Chuma. We shouldn't allow you to burn Chuma. Get Hana while you burn Chuma. Shekein mechapez simen. There are four things on the list of things that make Chuma more chamer. What does it stand for? Misa, one who eats Chuma shenit meis, a kohen tame who eats Chuma is chay misa. Chomesh, one who eats it, a zar who eats it has to pay an additional penalty of a chomesh. And vein lapidion, one who makes Chuma cannot be podet, and v'asur lazarim, and azar can't eat it. So we see these four different dinim that Chuma or more chamer is more chamer than that of Kodshim. So Gemara says, Hanech Nefishon. In the end of the day, there are six things on the list of Kodshim that make it more chamer than that of Chuma. And therefore, we're going to choose which one to allow you to get benefit while it burns. We're going to opt for Chuma because it's less severe than that of Kodesh. The Gemara says, another reason why we exclude Kodshim, why I say Kodshim is more severe, Ibai Seima, Kodesh Chamer, Shekein Arnish Karas. Or forgetting the list, forgetting the quantity of how many differences there are, but the very fact that the Onesh of eating kodesh leads to karis, while eating truma is only misa, which is serious, but chai misa is not as severe as karis. For that reason, we say kodesh would certainly be us to burn, just like ma'aser sheni, and the heter would be truma shenitmeis, that one can get hana from truma shenitmeis. So this concludes that discussion. Gemara now says, Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar Kra, he says, I'll cite one other source. Had we know you're allowed to get hana from truma tamea while it's burning, so he brings yet a third source. Now, how do we know this? It says titein lo, and it says to the pasuk of truma, it says the whole pasuk says reishis digancha tirashcha v'tzarcha, the first of your grains and your oil and your grapes, you should give titein lo, give it to the kohen lo v'lo la'oro, that he has to use it when it comes to truma tahora. The Kohen Lo has to use it, but he can't burn Truma Torah. He's not allowed to use it for fueling his fire for light. But that's only by Truma Torah cannot be burned. The implication is Mechlal de Bas Oruhu. The implication is Truma in general is subject to burning it, but when it's Truma Torah, you have to eat it. But Truma Temeya, you can burn it for Or, you can burn it for Hana. So that really ends the conclusion, the discussion here, of three different sources, how we know that you're allowed to get Hana from Truma Temeya while it's burning. Either we learn from the Ani Hine Nesati Lecha Es Mishmeres Truma Osai Lecha, or from the Pasuk Lo Biarti Mimenu Betame, or this last Pasuk Lo Volo Leoro. Gemara now says, quotes from the Mishnah, Rabbi Shmuel Omer, he said you can't use b'itran, some type of a bad-smelling oil, you can't use it on Shabbos, mibnei covered Shabbos. My time, huh? So it's bad-smelling, what's the big deal? So the Gemara explained, Amarava mitoch shereich hara, gzei reshema yanichenu v'yatsu. Because it smells bad, a person might end up leaving and not enjoy Shabbos. We want him to enjoy Shabbos, and since it smells bad, he might leave. So the Gemara says, Amar Lei, Shani Omer, because I hold, Rava says further, so I'm of the opinion that Halakas Ner B'Shabbos is a Chavahu, that a person has a requirement to light Neres Chanukah. And what that means is that Rashi says, Chova, Kavod Shabbos Hu, She'ein Suda Chashuva El B'Makom Or, Ke'ein Yimama. The only way a person has fulfilled his Suda on Shabbos properly Friday night is if there's candles there, and therefore, if a person is forced to leave, he's forced to leave and eat in a different room where there's no candles. He has not fulfilled his obligation in its entirety, and therefore I hold that the candle must be present and must allow the person to sit and enjoy the meal properly. So the Gemara again says, Amar Lei, because I hold, Shani Omer, Halakas Ner B'Shabbos Chova, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Rav Zivda, Amar Lei, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Rava, Amar Rav Halakas Ner B'Shabbos Chova, while Rechitas Yadayim Raglan B'Chamin, Arvis Rishus, bathing, washing one's hands, feet, is a chova. And Be'arvis, Erev Shabbos, it's a, while Ner Shabbos is a chova, bathing hands and feet and legs is a Rishus. And comes along Rav Nachman of Ani, but I hold Ani Omer that mitzvah. I think it's a mitzvah to bathe. So in terms of the Halakas Ner Shabbos, just for a moment, so Rashi says the whole idea is called covered Shabbos. But according to Tosas writes here, Halakas Ner B'Shabbos Chova, Perish B'Makom Suda, D'Chova Hi, She'yisar B'Makom Ner, you have to have a Suda in the presence of a Ner, Mishim Oneg, because of Oneg. So there's a machlokas between Rashi and Tosas, whether it's Mishim Kavod and or Mishim Oneg. The Rambam writes both reasons. They're both these reasons are relevant. What's the difference between Oneg and Kavod? So the Rambam writes, Kavod is anything you do before Shabbos to prepare for Shabbos. Owning is something you do on Shabbos. You enjoy Sudas on Shabbos. So what comes out here is, says Tosas and Rashi, it sounds like there's two concepts of the Rambam, lighting it before Shabbos, that's a way to usher in Shabbos, the covered Shabbos with the lights, but there's also an additional element of owning Shabbos, of having it lit on Shabbos itself to enjoy the Suda. That's covered versus owning. There's another point in Tosas as well. The Tosas writes, again, read the Tosas again from the beginning, Halakas Ner B'Shabbos Chova, Perish b'makom su'uda, d'chova hi she'yisar b'makom aner. There's a concept that you have to have a candle during your meal, mishim oneg. Aval, melakas ner gufo, lighting candles itself, lo haveparach, that was obvious, we know already, from the Mishnah, the pshita d'chovi. What's Tosa saying? Tosa saying is that there are two elements as well of ner Shabbos. One is a chova. There's a chiv to have ner Shabbos, forgetting the suda, just to having a ner Shabbos in your house because of shalom bayis. That's level one. Level two, a secondary reason is that it should also be during your meal to add an element of kavod or oneg during your meal. So these are two different elements of Ner Shabbos. So this becomes very relevant. You know, let's say a person is eating out Friday night. but he plans on sleeping home. Where should he light? Should he light where he's eating at the guest house because it's a dinner covered in Onik Shabbos, it's a dinner of the Suda? Or should he be lighting at home so when he comes home there's going to be proper Shalom Bayis? So this is a Machlokas Poskim, where the best place to light is, where you eat or where you get Hana. Now what's certainly true is if a person is not going to get any Hana from his Ner Shabbos when he comes home, it's going to already be out. He can't arrange for such a situation. He'll light before Shabbos begins and he won't get home until 4 hours later when the candle is already out. That certainly the person has not fulfill this obligation because you need to get Hana on Shabbos. In that scenario, he should light where he's eating. But the best case scenario would be if a person could really light in his own home and come home and benefit from it when Shabbos begins, either before going out to the meal or when he comes home from the meal later. Fine. So then the Gemara says back inside, the Gemara had said that although Halakas Ner Shabbos is a chova, when it came to washing one's hands, face, and feet, it's a rishus. So the Gemara says, Vayter, and it's a mitzvah of rishus, and Rav felt it was a mitzvah. So my mitzvah asks the Gemara, what's the mitzvah of bathing? The Amar of Yehuda Amar Rav, kach hayam min hagol shir of Yehuda bar Eli, Erev Shabbos, this was his practice on Fridays. Mevin lo areva melea chamin, they bring him a bucket of hot water. V'rochit panav yad, he'd wash his face, his hands, and his feet. V'misatev v'yoshi besadinim hamutu atzin, he would sit there wrapped around, draped, in a talus of tzitzis, of pishtan wearing tzitzis, v'domer l'malach Hashem tzvakos, and he was similar to a malach, he looked like a beautiful malach, he was clean, he had a beautiful talus, a white talus on, v'ayu tamidav mechabim memenu kanfei ksusam. Now his tamidim were very nervous, they started taking the corner of their garment, which didn't have tzitzis, and they started hiding them so the Rebbe shouldn't see. So Amar lehen, so he says, banai, he says to his students, my dear children, asks, Rabbi Yehuda ben Eli, I don't understand. Lokach shenisi lachem, did I not teach you? Sadin betitis, that when you have a garment, a talus that's made of flax, you made a linen, that the din is, it's chai betitis. Well, Beishame or potim, while the Beishame says it's pater, but only when you wear wool are you chai betitis, because the chatten is otherwise, since their titzis were made of wool, so now you can't put wool on linen, it's a violation of chatten, but Beis Hillel Mechayavim, he says you have a requirement, even though you're wearing linen, you have a requirement to place wool strings on, the halacha kedivrei Beis Hillel. So what are you guys doing exactly? So if you look at Rashi, just to explain a little bit what's going on here, Rashi says, Besadinin hamutiyotin sadinin, shapishan ubehen titzis shatcheles. He had tchelis strings on. So we know normally it's also to have wool and linen mixed together, that's a violation of shatnez. But if the wool tzitzis have tcheles on it, and then kalayim, then she'ela she'mutter min haTorah. When you have tcheles, tcheles is able to override the iser of shatnez. D'darshinan smuchin lo tzibah shatnez, gedilim taselach. The fact that the pasuk of tzitzis with tcheles is adjacent to the pasuk of shatnez that tells us what's the exception you're allowed to violate shatnez when you wear tchelis. When you're wearing tchelis in your tittis, you're allowed to violate shatnez of having the beged of linen and the strings of wool. So they were unclear about this. So the Gemara explains, what were the Talmidim thinking? The Inu Savra, they felt gzeira mishum ksus laila. They felt it was inappropriate because granted during the daytime, so you're allowed to violate shatnez if you're wearing tchelis. But the problem is, you might end up wearing it balayla, where there's no chiv, and then you'd violate shatnez at night. Rashi explains, in husavri, tamidav shayu osin, who prohibited wearing shatnez of tcheles even, savri, they thought, nehid the halacha ka Beis Hillel, granted, we pass like Beis Hillel that you're allowed to wear shatnez when wearing tcheles, they felt, v'chayav midiraisa, mi rabbanan gazer behem mishum ksus laila, they felt that the chachamim made a gzera not to wear it. Perhaps he's wearing something like pajamas that was uniquely used for night. The guy ends up wearing kalayim shelo b'makom mitzvah when there's no mitzvah because ksus laila lo mechay betzitzis. Pajamas don't require tzitzis. Dichsav urisim oso, that which you see, only that which is bayom, only daytime clothing, but not nighttime clothing. So this was the back and forth. Either way, what comes out from all this is what we're trying to draw from the story is that the way Rabbi Yehuda ben Eli would have his seder on Erev Shabbos, there was a mitzvah to take a bath. So if you take a look at Tosos writes here, Tibur Maschil Chova, Legavi Rechitas Yadayim, he says here, Bechamin Karilei Chova. So the bit of a gear change here that So one second. So we're saying that we call Neres Chanukah Neres Shabbos rather chova relative to bathing. Why? It's a chova of halakas ner legabe rechitz yadayim bechamin karli chova. It's only called a chova relative to bathing. The lo have kol kach mitzvah because bathing isn't such a strong mitzvah. But when we call halakas neres, it's not really so much a chova. It's just chova relative to bathing. Umay machronim says Tosos karli chova. Also, why do we call umay machronim chova? The mishum shakana to melech sedomis. The ma'ayim achronim, that really is a chova. When it comes to halakas ner, it's a mitzvah, but not really a chova. As opposed to the usage of chova by ma'ayim achronim, that is a requirement because it's dangerous because of melech sedomis not to wash hands. Shehargu hanefesh v'chamir etfei min arishonim. Fine, that ma'ayim achronim is more severe than rishonim because it's dangerous. V'yesh erotzim, there are those who want to say, says Tosfos, de'ein levarech ahalakas ner midikar lechova. The fact that halakas ner is called a chova, you shouldn't say a bracha, just like we find kedarminan b'mayim achronim, which is a chova, and yet ain tunim bracha. So now the usage of chova, some rishonim wanted to equate it to the usage of chova to mayim achronim. And just like by mayim achronim there's a bracha, some posited you shouldn't say a bracha by halakas ner Shabbos either. Tosis rejects this and says, Omer Rabbeinu Tam, the Shibashu, that is a mistake, to lo dami l'mayim achronim. Even though the word chova is used by both cases, they're not comparable. To lo havi ela l'hatzala ba'alma. The whole purpose of mayim achronim wasn't because of a mitzvah, it was hatzala. It was to protect the person. It was for a sakana, and when there's a sakana, we don't say a bracha. That's not a mitzvah, that's just a sakana. Aval halakas ner, he chova shal mitzvahs onik Shabbos, and therefore, it's a kemo chovos hein, and the tuna bracha, and therefore one requires saying a bracha. Fine. Back inside the Gemara now. The Gemara says we are now two dots around, a little bit more than halfway down the page here. Amud Beis, the Gemara quotes from a pasuk from in Eicha as follows: Vatiznach misham nafshi, and you left from the peace of one's nefesh. Nashasi, nashisi, tova, nashisi means to forget, and I forgot that which is good. So this is a very sad pasuk in Eicha. What does it mean? My tiznach mishalom nafshi, that the shalom departed from my nefesh. Amar Rabbi Yabohu, zu halakas ner b'shabbos. It's referring to halakas ner Shabbos, lighting Shabbos candles, that bizman churban, where they didn't light the ner Shabbos, there is no longer any shalom bias at that point. So Rashi says here that halakas ner b'shabbos, shalohaya lo b'mat lahalik, there is no oil or wicks to use to light anymore during the churban beis hamikdash. Uvimakum she'ener, when there's no candle, ain't shalom. Shaholich v'nich shavaholich be'afel, they'd walk and ship over each other at nighttime. So that's what the pasuk means, v'tiznach mishalom nafshi, that shalom left, ner Shabbos left, shalom bias was what was no longer, because there's nothing to light candles anymore. So then what does it mean, the second half of the pasuk, nashisi tova, that I forgot all that which is good. Amar Rabbi Yirmiya zu beis hamerchatz, is referring to bathing bizman achurban. That Rabbi Yochanan Amar zu rechitzas yadayim raglayim bechamim, it's referring to washing one's hands and feet in hot water. That they also stopped at during Shas achurban, either for, you know, for the purposes of a felus they wouldn't bathe, or perhaps they didn't have the access to bathe. But that's what it means. Nashisi tov, I forgot what any good is like, not with the inability to bathe anymore. Now, I should point out, I mentioned that the Gemara earlier, I wanted to say this before, that there's a mitzvah of rechitzas yadayim raglayim upanav, to wash one's hands, face, and feet when it comes to Shabbos. This din is, in fact, brought down by the Tur and Shulchan Aruch, that a person should take a bath. But the explanation is that the Rama says not only, even though the Shulchan Aruch writes, it's a mitzvah lirchot panav yadav raglav, Rama says, he adds a kol gufo. It's best for a person to bathe his entire body. Now, if a person, let's say, is limited, doesn't have the ability because he's rushed, pressed for time, whatever the other concern might be, so then the Rama says, then at least wash your face, hands, and feet before Shabbos. It is debatable whether the feet need to be washed anyways in that particular instance, because we don't walk around barefoot. But again, if a person is pressed for time, at least a person should take a bath for his face, or wash his face, hands, and feet. That's somewhat of a mitzvah. But if he's able to, he should certainly take a full bath before Erev Shabbos. That's part of the preparations of Shabbos. But back inside this piece of the Gemara right now, so we're now bemoaning the fact that the Bishas Churban, they weren't able to light Ner Shabbos anymore, nor were they able to bathe properly anymore. So it comes along the Gemara and then says, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha Amar, Zu Mita Na, V'Kelim Nam Shela. What it means is, Nashisi Tova, that I forgot good. It's referring to a person no longer had a beautiful bed and a beautiful Kelim. That was all lost. They lost all these luxuries during Shas HaChorban, and Rabbi Abba Amar, Zumi to Motzas, a nicely made bed, V'isha Mekushetes, and a woman who's dressed properly, adorned and jewelry and makeup, which most likely means her midos were not, Tamid HaChamim, that were fit for Tamid HaChamim. They had the inability, they no longer had these luxuries. Now, Pashup Shat, the Gemara is referring to physical descriptions, but the Acharim explains referring to spiritual descriptions. So Gemara now says, going along the same lines, Tanu Rabbanan Ezi Asher, who's called an Asher? Kol Sheyeshal Nachas Ruach Ba'osho, anyone who's pleased with the wealth, whatever the amount of wealth he has, that's Divrei Rebbe Meir, that's of course Sameach Bechelko, the Mishnah Maseches Avos. And then the Gemara quotes a quick mnemonic here, Simen Mem Tes Kas, Mat Kas, referring to the upcoming statements, Rabbi Tarfon Omer, Kol Sheyeshal Mea Kromim, Umea Sados, Umea Vadim, Shovnimahen. He says, you know who's an usher? A person who has 100 vineyards, a person who's got 100 fields, a person who's got 100 slaves or servants, that's a person who's considered an usher. Sounds very Gashmias oriented. But that's Pashup Shat. But the Achronim again explained this, referring to somehow that. One second here. So the Marsha explains here that a person who's got an incredible amount of wealth and he's able to enjoy his wealth and benefit from the wealth, and he's not of those Ashirim who just have wealth but don't actually get to use it. So you have to figure out the sugya, what this means exactly about wealth. There's a concept of a gavaraba, of a gvir. Such a concept does exist in Gemara. Rebbe was very wealthy, Rebbe Yelezer was very wealthy. So you have to figure out exactly how the Chazal view wealth, but Pashup Shat is referring to a person who's got an incredible amount of wealth and is able to use it properly, most likely to use it properly in a way of chesed and in a way of tzedakah and in a way of helping build him in terms of ruchnius. Rabbi Kiva Omer, Ko Sheyesh Lo Isha Na B'Maisim. What it refers to, Ashers, a person who's got a beautiful wife in her actions, in her ways, in her derech eretz, in her midos. That's what it means to be an usher. And Rabbi Yossi Omer, an interesting comment, but we have this, we can't relate to this so much, but in the times of Gemara, this was something very important. Kol sheyesh lo beis hakisei samech l'shulchan, a person who's got a bathroom not too far from his table, that's something we take for granted, but that was something that he felt was that's wealth. Having a bathroom near a table, that is, as opposed to having to step to the field, to a place that was dangerous, to a place that was far, having it near the house, near the dining room, was something very, very, very wealthy. So Gemara now says, we'll just go a little bit further onto the next daf, just a few lines. The Gemara says, Tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Ein Malikin b'tzari. You can't use tzari, a type of a candle on Shabbos. It's some type of sap that comes from a tree. So the Gemara says, my time, what's the reason you can't use this? Amir Rabba, mitoch shereicha nodif. Because since the smell goes very, very far away, gzera shemi stapek mimenu. It was a very potent smell. And the concern was that you might end up using it. You might want to take some of it to put on your body, to use as perfume, to use as cologne. And if one were to do that, that would be a problem. What's the problem of doing so? So if you look at the last Rashi in Chaf Hei Amud Beis, Rashi explains, Shema Yestapek Mimenu, V'tanya B'tosef Tahanosin Shema Le'er, the Ner, Chai Mishimavir. If a person adds oil to a candle, you add fuel to the candle, that's called Mavir. You're adding fuel to it. And Hamistapik, the one who Mistapik means one who uses oil, who takes oil away from a candle, is Chai Mishim Mechavi, you're causing it to extinguish sooner. So they're concerned that if the oil smelled so nice, like perfume and cologne, a person might take the oil and rub it on him, he's causing the fire to go out sooner, and that's a violation of Mechaba. That sugi, which Rashi is referring to, what we had a couple days ago, rather it's Gemara and Beitza, is very important for using timers. Now timers outdated now, and obsolete. But the old timers where you're able to move the little lines of you want to go off later and have it go off earlier. So they pointed to the sugya here by adding fuel to the oil is like having it extend longer, and it's called mavir, and having it go out sooner than it was, that would be considered extinguishing. So they speak about different circumstances, when it would be allowed, when it would be asur, but this is the sugya for that. But again, this seems to be no longer relevant. I'm not sure how many people have those anymore, but it still might exist, and therefore is a relevant halacha. Gemara now says, last couple words on Chaf Hemer Beis, Amar Le Abaye. Abaye says, Lema, let's suggest Mar Mipnei Shu'af. The reason why you shouldn't use this type of oil of tzari is because af. What's af? So Rashi says, Mipnei Shu'af is v'nidbak b'kosle habayis u'malik habayis. Apparently, the smell, the oil, gets stuck to the house, the walls of the house, and that could cause an incredible fire to house to burn down. It'll be dangerous. It'll be dangerous to have such a house. So Rashi explains here, not because of danger, rather Tosas is not because of a danger, but Tosas says, Lema tap Tosan Chavav, Lema mar mipnei shu'af, v'yehe bol amamona, the guy's going to be concerned over his money, v'yavo l'chabos, he's going to come to extinguish the fire, not because it's a sakana, because it's going to lead to a kibbutz. So then Tosa asks the Tema, the Havalei Lamemra Afil Bechol Nami Latasa, it should also be usher even during the weekday. So it should say even usher during the weekday, because it could lead to a person, you know, damaging his house. But either way, the reason why you shouldn't use the tzari is not because of the beautiful smell and you might use the oil, rather because it's either going to cause the house to get in fire, you're going to put it out, or it's going to lead to a sakana. So the Gemara says, Chada ve'od ka'amar. There are one, and then there's another reason. There are two reasons, two very valid reasons why you shouldn't use tzari on Shabbos. Chada mipnei shu'af. One is because it could cause the walls to go on fire. Ve'od number two is, gezeira shema yistapik mimenu. You might use the oil, and that would be a violation of mechabe on Shabbos. Everybody have a wonderful day.